Well, New Zealand has changed dramatically in the response to COVID-19. And Grant Morris today points out that fundamental rights and liberties have been curtailed to assist in suppressing the virus. From a legal history perspective, he notes similarities to what New Zealand experienced in World Wars I and II and during the 1951 waterfront disputes. He joins me now. Hello there, Grant.
Hi, Jesse. How are you?
Good. You've done a bit of analysis on the legal situation here in which laws are involved in this lockdown.
Yeah, so I thought maybe I might give an idea, listeners an idea of the laws involved, especially some of the older ones, and then move on to some of the historical examples, and then you've got the law and the history and the legal history. So with the, I mean, and listeners will have been hearing this from the stand-up presentations from the different leaders. So on one hand, you've got the Health Act 1956, which allows for these very broad powers of controlling a population to stop a health pandemic or serious health situation. Then you've got the Civil Defence Emergency Management Act 2002. There's always been law around civil defence. This would be the more up-to-date iteration of it. And then you've got the Epidemic Preparedness Act 2006 as well. Plus you've got, as the police commissioner has mentioned, the Summary Offences Act, which come in below those where necessary as well. So you've actually got a suite of acts, and they're quite specific as well to those particular areas which can be utilised. And interestingly, all of them are being utilised at the moment, and so they cover off the different roles of those different groups. On the other hand, you've got, I suppose, the default option, which is our, traditions that go back centuries in terms of civil liberties, all the way back to Magna Carta, which was originally signed in 1215 and then put into statute in 1297. So, Bill of Rights, 1688, and then all these common law precedents as well. So the law that we get from cases where we have our civil liberties protected there as well. And most famously in New Zealand, that's summarised in our New Zealand Bill of Rights, 1990. So, you've kind of got, acts on both sides. And in a situation, emergency like this, it's interesting to see how they kind of intersect.
Indeed. Is there any good historical comparison for what's happening at the moment?
Well, the one that's used most often is, this is like wartime, or this is what you might see in wartime. And that is really the best analogy, because it's often when we think about World War One, we think about World War Two, and the necessity of, I suppose, curtailing some of these rights we take for granted. So, think about World War One, for example. You get censorship, you get conscription, you get the government taking over particular industries when necessary. And you get, the punishment of conscientious objectors. So you get all of these laws, which in peacetime would seem, completely over the top and a breach of civil liberties. But they're accepted to a large extent. They're accepted in wartime. What's interesting about this one is it's not wartime, and so therefore we need to go back and we need to look at probably our third best example in New Zealand's history, which is the 1951 waterfront dispute, where the government, the national government under Sidney Holland, brought in what was like wartime regulations to basically crush the union movement, which was going on this big long strike. And so what you got during that time was press censorship. Striking was illegal, so breach of freedom of association, illegal to give money or food to the strikers or their families. See, when historians look back on 1951, we say, well, these are things that usually happen in war that are happening basically in an industrial dispute. And now we've got a situation where it's a health emergency and we're seeing what might normally happen in war being used in a health context. So this is in some ways, a new category again.
So what can we learn from history to sort of guide us to make the right decisions in the next few weeks?
Yeah, I think one of the big problems, Jesse, is because the three examples that we've got and which we usually use as historians, they're not to do with health. I mean, there's been a bit written on some episodes in New Zealand history where you can see health coming into it, but those big three, they're war and they're industrial disputes. So they're when societies or when countries are fighting with each other, and here we're all trying to joined together. And the, as you know, it's been said many times, the enemy's invisible. So what does it mean in this context to take away some of those civil liberties? And I suppose what everyone's struggling with at the moment, especially lawyers and legal academics, is to what extent do we need to curtail these freedoms? Now, I think we all accept that there has to be some, but to what extent? You know, is it more like a war situation where you could, you know, quite easily justify it? Or, you know, where does it fit in that spectrum?
Grant Morris from Victoria University School of Law, thanks so much for your time. Great to chat with you.
Cool. Thanks, Jesse.